This audio was recorded on the 2010 Feminist Walking Tour on International Women's Day in Dublin. This segment has Sinead from Choice Ireland talking about the Dun Stores anti-apartheid strike of 1984, and then has a man whose name I didn't catch talking about the history of 16 Moore Street.
In 1948, following a general election, the South African government passed a regime segregating blacks from whites, known as apartheid. Why we're standing outside at Dun Stores talking about this is because nearly half a century later, in 1984, the trade union mandate passed a resolution at their Congress saying that no mandate member was to handle South African goods. This was to be quite a fateful motion. Most of the retailers around here stopped importing South African goods and allowed their trade unionised members to maintain the boycott. Dun Stores, however, refused to stop using South African goods. One woman, one young stop steward, Mary Manning, she was 21 years of age. And bear in mind, the Ireland of 1984 was a time of high unemployment where people were doing their best to survive, refused to handle South African oranges. She was suspended, and 10 of her colleagues followed her out on strike. The strike was to go on for nearly 3 long years. Mary Manning and her colleagues, 9 young women and 1 young man, I don't know, does anyone remember the Eoin O'Neill song along those lines, picketed outside this store, day in, day out, for the duration of the strike. Desmond Tutu, on a visit to the UK during the strike, told the strikers that they were keeping the morale up of all of the people of South Africa who were fighting against apartheid. These brave young people and their refusal to handle South African goods made such a change that 3 years later, the Irish government agreed a trade embargo with South Africa until such time as they lifted apartheid. Today, there is a street named after Mary Manning, and the South African embassy placed a plaque remembering what these young people did. They lived for the 3 years of the strike on €21 a week, pounds a week, just a fifth of what they'd been earning, and risked losing their jobs. One of the women lost her house because she couldn't make up the strike repayments, but still their resolve did not break. These women and that one man, like the women of the IWWU, made one of the strongest contributions to the trade union movement in Ireland. The other reason we're standing here is round the corner is 16 Moore Street. Irish women first began to play a very strongly political role in Ireland during the Republican movement. Irish women played a part in Cumann na mBan, in the ICA, which was the Irish Citizen Army. The day on April 24th, 1916, a rising had been planned, but Eoin O'Neill, the leader of the Irish Volunteers, had said that there was to be no rising unless they were provoked by the English government. He countermanded orders for the rising, but a bunch of women on bicycles, on the orders of the IRB, cycled the length and breadth of Ireland, calling the volunteers to rise. And on the morning of April 24th, Easter Monday, a bunch of volunteers marched from the ITWU headquarters at Liberty Hall, marched to various strategic points around the city. 9 men and 10 women marched on Dublin Castle, led by Kathleen McGlynn, an Irish doctor. They didn't manage to take Dublin Castle, but instead took City Hall. Over the week, there were many casualties. Women who were initially turned away from outposts of the rising were eventually ordered to take their place amongst the men. They ran first aid. They crossed burning barricades, went through burning buildings, and risked sniper fire to be the communications network for the rising. They ran field hospitals, and they smuggled in rations to the rebels. By Saturday, it became clear that the rebels were about to lose. The detachment who had taken the GPO fell back to 16 Moore Street. There were five women among them, including a nurse, Elizabeth O'Farrell. When Pádraig Pearse ordered the surrender, it was Elizabeth O'Farrell who delivered the surrender to the English. Many of the women who took part in the rising, their feats have been ignored, largely. There are no statues of them, their names are not marked. The slight against Elizabeth O'Farrell, who delivered the surrender, is particularly galling. Elizabeth was actually airbrushed out of the photographs of the surrender. Now we can only see Pádraig Pearse. On the day of the surrender, Elizabeth travelled the length and breadth of Dublin, delivering the surrender. She worked. She tells a story of as she crossed a bridge towards Boland's Mill, a man just a foot behind her was shot dead. Her bravery... I'm being told the next story is coming along. Brilliant. Her bravery is not remembered, even though Pádraig Pearse on the day said that these women's bravery should be remembered. We're actually very lucky here today. There was a report written on 16 Moore Street by this man over here, and he might, as we walk, tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, everybody. I'm just going to speak very briefly about what happened at the very end of the Rising and the role that Elizabeth O'Farrell played in the surrender that took place in number 16 Moore Street. Now, I'm standing here so that you can kind of see all the nodal points of what happened in the drama. But 16 Moore Street is on that second terrace of houses down there. It's pretty run down now. There is a plaque on it, and there's also, it's called Plunkett's. It used to be a butcher's up until quite recently. But what happened on the last day of the Rising was on the 28th of April 1916. The GPO had been more or less completely destroyed by shell fire. It was on fire. There was explosives in the attic belonging to the rebels. And they exited out a side door just there beyond Fields Jewellers sign. Just beyond that, you can see that there's a side there, door. They went down Henry Place, which is a lane there, came around, turned the corner, and there was a long lane at the back of Henry Street called, or at the back of Moore Street called Moore Lane. The British soldiers were set up with machine guns at the end of the street there on Parnell Street, and at the end on Parnell Street shooting down Moore Lane. So they broke into the back of the houses on this terrace of houses on Moore Street, number 10. They went upstairs, they broke holes through each of the through the walls between house and house. They couldn't actually come out onto the front of the street because there was an enfilade of fire coming up this street here. And they set up, there was about 50 men and three or four women set up in each of the houses. Now, the women who were involved in 1916 saw themselves as combatants. A lot of the men didn't, and they were very uncomfortable with them. So they ended up tended to be convinced to take up nursing roles and moving around the city, as Sinead has already described. Some of them, a lot of them had guns. Some of them were involved in the gunfire in City Hall and in the College of Surgeons. But Nurse O'Farrell, who went on to be a midwife and in Dublin and lived on till the 50s or 60s, Nurse Connolly, who was taken on a stretcher across the street, James Connolly, and into the top of the houses, he'd been shot in the leg on Prince's Street earlier in the thing, and it was gone gangrenous at the time. But what happened on the last day, on the Saturday, was that they decided to surrender. A lot of people, an old man and his wife had, who lived on the street, had thought that he could go out. I'm nothing to do with all this. He put a big white sheet around his shoulders and went out onto the street and was shot dead, himself and his daughter. So Pearse and Connolly and the rest of them decided that there was too many civilians being shot and it was time to surrender. But for fear that a man would be shot if he went out in the street, they hung a big white sheet over number 16 Moore Street and they sent out Elizabeth O'Farrell waving a white flag. The soldiers at the end of the street stopped firing, waved her down, and she said that Pearse wanted to negotiate with General Lowe. Lowe sent her back with a flea in her ear, said, "I'm not negotiating under any conditions." Pearse sent her out with a note again and said, "I'll only surrender as long as I'm guaranteed that the ordinary combatants will not pay the ultimate price, that they won't be executed." She went back up the street. Lowe sent her back again, says, "I'm not negotiating under any terms whatsoever." And finally, Pearse went down the street with her, and that famous photograph where we see him with his Boer War hat turned up at the end of Parnell Street where he surrenders. But Nurse O'Farrell is beside him, and kind of almost comically, Pierce looks like he's wearing a dress, but it's actually Farrell who's behind him, and in that sense she's airbrushed out, but not technically, she was just standing behind Pierce. Finally, she came back to the street with a handwritten note from Pierce to say, we've got to surrender. And just the coda to all, or to the troops, that they must all surrender. And the coda to all this is that when they were deciding and trying to argue about which house this was, Elizabeth O'Farrell's evidence wasn't treated as being as important as the men's evidence. She wasn't a combatant. How would she know? And yet in the whole history of the event, she's the only one who walked in the front door of 16 Moore Street. She did it three times in the drama, so she was best placed to know exactly where the headquarters were.
There you go.
This audio was recorded and edited by Andrew Flood on the Feminist Walking Tour in Dublin. For more audio from the International Women's Day Walking Tours, go to http://anarchism.pageabode.com/cat/gender.